back to Nehemiah 8 now, with Nehemiah chapter 8. I wanted to look at this with you after I started reading it again. Remember, we were going on to Esther, but something that Brother John Chapman said in a message Sunday. I listened to him and Luke on Sunday. Both were a blessing, and John preached from Acts 17. Paul was preaching, and John said that the purpose of the pulpit is to preach the word. That's the only purpose for it. And he reminded me of this passage that says this was why the pulpit was first made. This is the first mention of a pulpit, podium. And the only reason it was above people, it's not that the preacher is exalted or above them or better. It's just so that everyone can hear. Plus, remember, Ezra opened the Bible in the sight of all the people to make everyone know for certain, I'm reading God's Word. And that was the purpose of the pulpit. So everyone could hear the reading of God's Word and the preaching of the Word, and everyone could see very clearly that this man is reading God's Word. He's not getting this himself, but it's what God is saying. So it made me want to go back and look at this, and I did, and I hope you'll be glad we did. And I thought how fitting that we take the Lord's table tonight when they told all the people, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and hold your peace and be of good cheer. And so that's what we're going to do. And I've given you seven reasons. Well, about 77 scriptures, actually. But seven points, seven reasons for eating and drinking and making mirth. Seven, at least, good reasons why we take this table and why we should be very glad. And it said, after chapter 7, it says, there was very great gladness. Very great gladness. And they partook of this feast, the tabernacle, from then on. Many reasons. Number one, the reason why we take this table, eat and drink our Lord's body and shed blood and make mirth, or that is, should be happy and glad, is that we have the Word of God. Chapter 8, verse 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. What a verse this is. One of the sisters and I were commenting back and forth to one another about this. Like in Acts, they were all together as one man. And all the people, the Lord had gathered them, as you read with me, through Nehemiah. And then the people themselves gathered together, and they were of one accord, in unity, as one man. Because God's people have one Lord, one faith, one hope, one purpose, don't they? One reason for gathering, to worship our Lord. And they met in this one place, the street. It was the way into the city, which is Christ, before the water gate. Keeps saying that, in the street before the water gate. Well, all of this is Christ. He's the way. He is the gate, the straight gate, and He is the water of life. This is where they brought the water into the city. It's fitting that they all meet there where water is being brought in. So they met there, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe, bring the book. Bring the book. They were so glad to have the book. Remember the story of Josiah? They found the book. Remember that? What a wonderful... They just found the book, and they were all so overjoyed to find the book. But do you know that all the people didn't have a copy of the book? None of them had a copy of that. Does that tell you why they were so attentive? You know, we all have a copy of this book, and I'm quite sure we all take it for granted at times. We do. We just do. Things that we have, we take for granted. Things we don't have, we desire them and hope for them. Things we need. And the people didn't have a book. They Oh my, can you imagine how attentive they were? So what a blessing. What a reason for us to eat and drink and be merry. We have the book. No, we have the book. Malachi 3, you know, that verse in Malachi 3, it says, they that spake often, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book was written. Book of remembrance, that is, to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. That's this whole book, who this whole book is about. It. And those that feared the Lord and thought on his name. And so they met together. They had Ezra read the book, and they were so happy. Our Lord said in Revelation 1, he said, blessed is he that readeth the words of this book. You know how few people read God's word? You do, don't you? I do. Why? Because you're glad to have it. So thankful for that. Blessed are they to read, blessed are they to hear. Reasons for eating and drinking and making mirth or being happy. We have God's word. He's given us his word, and we desire the word. We do. We desire the word. The people asked Ezra to come, bring the book, and read it to us. We want to hear it. We want to hear it. We want to read it. We want to hear it. We want you to give us a sense of it. Preach it to us. Oh, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. It's a sign of life. Only those that have been born again by the Word hunger for the Word, thirst for the Word. Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babe. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's the first sign of a newborn child, that they desire their mother's breast, the milk. And it doesn't take much urging to get them to start nursing, does it? Well, that's the way it is with a newborn babe in Christ. And the older you get, the better it gets, doesn't it? We desire the word. We really do. We really do. Listen to this. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, or his word, doth he meditate day and night. I believe I'm that blessed man. Are you? David said this in Psalm 26. He said, I have not sat with vain persons. I'm not going to go in with dissembler. I'm not going to sit with people that don't know my God and don't worship my God. And I'm not going to sit and hear preachers blaspheme my God. No, no. He said, I've hated the congregation of evildoers. He said, I've loved the habitation of thy house where thine honor dwelleth. That's where I'll be, he said. That's with whom I'll be. In my foot, he said, standeth in an even place, in the congregations where I bless thee, Lord. That's why we come here, hear God's word, to bless the name of Christ our Lord and our Lord God, and with God's people. We desire to hear the word, don't we? Eat, drink, and be merry. Make mirth. Oh, my. Ezekiel says that in chapter 3. They gave him the roll and he ate it, and it was sweet to his taste. Another reason why we have reason to eat and drink and be happy is we have the word, we desire the word, and God has given us men to preach the word. God's given us men to preach the word. They asked Ezra and Nehemiah also, but they asked Ezra as one man. They all said to Ezra, bring the book and read it to us and preach it to us. We need you. We want you to preach to us. And there were other men also. Because how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except to be sent? And oh, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, Scripture says. We have men to preach the word. Isn't that what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip? There's not a clearer passage in the Bible how that the Lord has used preaching to save and no other means than Acts chapter 8, where there was a man out there alone in a desert hundreds of miles away from anywhere, traveling along, and the Lord sent him a preacher all the way out in the desert. And he's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Came alongside the chariot, walking along. That's a great story, walking along. "Do you understand what you're reading?" He stopped the chariot. "No, I don't. Can you help me? Can you come tell me? Get up here in the chariot with me. Can you tell me, does he speak of himself or some other man?" And see, the Lord sent that man, and he preached Christ crucified from Isaiah 53. So he said, "How can I accept some man tell me?" No, we can't. It's just the way it is, and I'm glad. But we have men to preach the word. How blessed we are. Psalm 68 says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it." The Lord gave the word. They all had the same book, same subject, same one truth, one hope, and it all great was the company that published it. Way back in the beginning, God, he's never left himself without a witness in any generation. He sent preachers all over the world to preach the gospel. "Go in all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ and is baptized shall be saved." And so it is. How blessed we are to have men to preach the word. So we're blessed, and we should be happy and feast. Feast is made for laughter. We should eat and drink the Lord's table in gladness. And because we have the word, we desire to have the word, we have men to preach the word to us. And look at chapter 8, verse 3. It says, they read therein from morning till midday, and the people were attentive. They were attentive. And verse 8, they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. We have great reason to rejoice because we understand what we're hearing, don't we? Do you know how many millions of people sit and listen to a Latin liturgy on Sunday? Latin liturgy. Tell me what that is. They don't know either. But no. Or some little homily. What's a homily? That's what you eat. Is that corn that's blown up? No, that's hominy. It needs to be made fun of. It. Honestly. This pulpit, as Brother Chapman said, as Scripture said, is for one reason. To read God's Word and to preach God's Word. To give the meaning, to give the understanding. It causes people to understand. I think it was Jonathan Edwards who said, "I would rather be understood by 10 people than admired by 10,000. The people understood. They understood. I've always loved Proverbs 8, verses 8 and 9, that say this, which you know, Proverbs 8. That's our Lord, who is wisdom, who is speaking here. "O ye sons of men, O ye simple." He said in verse 8, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness." So there's nothing forward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth. And right to them that find knowledge. See, he has to give you an understanding. He has to open your understanding. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. But God has given us an understanding. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding. The Spirit of God has come and given us understanding. We understand. We understand that this book speaks of Him. It's a hymn book. Very plain, very clear. And how grateful I am, how thankful I am that we understand. Listen to this in Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. I got my old Bible out so I can find the scriptures. Scripture, Romans 3 said there's none that understand. Now, Romans 3 is talking about Jew and Gentile. There's no difference. Those that don't aren't born again. Those that don't know God. Those that aren't regenerated. He says there's none righteous. No, not one. None that understand it. That none that seeketh after God. Nobody will. Nobody does until God gives them an understanding. Until he opens their understanding. And it goes on to say that the way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. But God, how blessed we are. Great mercy, love and mercy to us. He's given us an understanding of God's word, of the truth. By faith, Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand. That's how that faith begins, right there, Hebrews 11. By faith we understand something of who God is, what we are, who Christ is, and how we're saved. So what a blessing that we have the Word, we desire the Word, we have men to preach the Word and preach and open our understanding. The Spirit of God opens our understanding, and how blessed we are and reason to feast and be thankful is we believe the Word. We believe God's Word, and believing God's Word, you tremble at it. First thing. Nehemiah 8, look at verse 9. I told you, well, you read it with me, that the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Okay, David said, I love thy law. I love thy law. But now, you know, the promises of God are all in Christ. And you don't know, you don't understand, you can't rejoice until you see, and my next point, but until you see that you have a law keeper, until you see Christ as the fulfillment of the law, the law is going to convict you and whatsoever things the law saith, Romans 3:19, saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become what? Guilty before God. That's what the law said. The law is a curse. The problem is not the law. It's our sinful selves. You know that. You know how few people know that? There's nothing wrong with the law. We love God's law. We love every part of God's law. No, every jot and every tittle. Our Lord lived according to that law. We love His law. But thank God we're not under that law. Because it is strict. It requires perfection in thought, in word, and in deed. And so what the law says is guilty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, of keeping His commandments. And the people in Nehemiah's day, so they read in Genesis to all the way through Deuteronomy, and what they were reading is the goodness of God, how good God was to them, what all God had done for them, and what all they had done to Him and against Him. They were reading, and this is the whole story of the Israelites, the sons of Jacob, how good God was and how bad they were. About all the God's provisions for them and all their provoking of Him. And on it goes. God's holiness and their sinfulness. God's faithfulness and their unfaithfulness. And they all read that. And this is what happens. Everyone, if the Spirit of God convicts you, convinces you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, He'll take the law, which is a schoolmaster, and He'll convict you of your sin. And this is what happened. The people were weeping. We have not kept His law. We want to, but we can't keep His law. Woe is unto us. What shall we do? That's what they were doing. And they trembled. That's what Isaiah 66 says, doesn't it? To this man will I look. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 66, verse 2. He says, to this man would I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Are there not scriptures that you read and you just, you get so convicted, don't you? There's some scriptures you don't want to read because you get so convicted by them. Am I right? You read them anyway because you need it. Conviction is a wonderful thing. You know who the Lord loveth? He chastens them. And he does it with his word more than anything else. Yes, he does. He convicts you. He goes on to say, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at the word. That's who's hearing it. People that can hear, people that can read through the word of God and not fear God, they hadn't heard it. They hadn't heard a thing. You know that? Preachers that preach in such a way as that there's no fear in people, they're not preaching the God of the Bible. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so to everyone that trembles, God says, peace, be still. To everyone that fears, he says, fear not. To everyone that's convicted, he says, comfort ye, my people. Those are my people. Those that tremble at my word. Those that fear me. Those are my people. And to them are the blessed promises of the gospel. Promises of the gospel. The law says you are guilty. The gospel says you are justified. And only those that are guilty would laugh. Holy laughter. Only one. You know how blessed we are? Let's eat. You ready to eat? And drink? And make merry? Oh, we tremble at His Word. We're thankful that His Word convicts us and chastens us and makes us feel our guilt. And more blessed are they that mourn. You know that passage in Ecclesiastes that says, let your laughter be turned to mourning. That's talking to this world, that their laughter is like the cackling, like the crackling of thorns under a pot. It's noise and everybody's laughing and they ought to be crying. They ought to be weeping. They ought to be calling on God. And those who mourn, though, he says, laugh. To those who has given this mourning over sin, he tells them, be of good cheer. Our Lord said that to his disciples. He said, you're going to mourn. I'm leaving and you're going to mourn. The world's going to rejoice. You know, he's been gone for a long time, hasn't he? 3,000 years. And the world's just mocking and scoffing and laughing like those people, those who were the Amalekites who were took David's wives from Ziklag, you know, they're all having a big old time, eating and drinking and being merry and laughing. Ain't nothing to this God of David and this all of this. Ain't nothing laughing, and David's watching them. And very shortly, David came down. And they found out, didn't they? And that son of David's coming very shortly. And all laughter is going to be stopped. And our mourning is going to stop. That's when our mourning is going to stop. It's going to be turned to laughter. I love Psalm 126. When the Lord turned our captivity again. When the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter. This is all a picture of how that when the Lord brings us all to glory and gathers us all together in the sweet by and by, there's not going to be any mourning. No tears. No sorrow. No. Let's eat. Let's drink. And make mirth from now on. So we are glad, we're thankful that we the Lord, we believe God's word, we tremble at his word, and we're so thankful. This is why we eat the table and drink the blood, drink the wine that represents his blood, and are happy, is because we understand that Jesus Christ is the word of God. He is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. What does that mean? It means the Bible is Christ. That the Bible walked on this earth. The Word walked on this earth. The Word was made flesh. What does that tell you? That the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. The Word. Revelation says that's his name. The Word. Oh, how thankful we are, how we ought to just rejoice and feast that we understand that Christ is the Word. Look at Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The men, Nehemiah, and Tertius, and Ezra, and the Levites all said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. What fat? What sweet? The fat of the sacrifice, the sweet wine. Isaiah 25. You need to remember where this is. I mean, you need to remember where this is. Isaiah 25. Go with it. You have it? Eat the fat. What fat? Isaiah 25. You need to commit this to memory. I'm going to make it our memory verse the next 6 weeks running. All right? Isaiah 25. This is just wonderful. This is Jesus Christ crucified in the church in Mount Zion. Verse 6, you have it? In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. Feast of wines on the lees. Fat things full of marrow. Wines on the lees, well refined. What is that? That's Christ there crucified. Kept saying about the sacrifice, eat the fat thereof, the fat thereof, the fat thereof. He says, I will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. Read it. The veil spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. The rebuke of the people. Shall he take away from off all the earth? Why? The Lord hath said it. Keep reading. It doesn't get better, but it's just as good. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We've waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. What's Nehemiah talking about? Christ. The sacrifice of Christ made on Calvary's tree. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. That's what we're doing. Our Lord said, listen to what he said. Excuse me. In John chapter 6, this is what our Lord said. You can turn if you want to. You need to remember this too. Excuse me. John chapter 6, our Lord, he said, now this is vital. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He kept saying this. And the people said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They all kept saying that. What is he talking about? And he kept pounding it, didn't he, John? Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And most of the people just didn't understand. What? They didn't understand. Do you? Do you? Oh, the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. We feast on bad thing, Christ and Him crucified. We eat His body and drink His blood. We preach Christ crucified. We live because of Him. Because He died, we live. Because He lives, we live. Because Christ... My next point. See, the Word, we understand that the Word was made flesh. He was made of a woman. The whole Bible speaks of Christ. The whole Old Testament says, someone is coming. Someone is coming. Who? Someone to restore the kingdom of the Jews? No. Someone who has an everlasting kingdom. It's not of this world. The Son of God set up a spiritual kingdom forever. Do away with all other kingdoms. To bring His people into that kingdom. Someone is coming. Someone is coming. Who is it? The Holy One of Israel. The Son of the Most High God. The Law Keeper. The Law Giver. The Righteous One. The Holy One. Why is He coming? To fulfill the law. To keep the law. So all the law speaks of Him. He wrote it. They are they which testify of Me. We understand that, don't we? Why did He come? To fulfill the law. To keep the law. Who for? Lawbreakers. Guilty. Sinners. Everybody trembles at the law. Everybody fears. All these people wept. Why? They loved the law, but they'd broken it. And they all wept. What are we going to do? Nehemiah says, that's what this sacrifice is all about. The men gave them the understanding. That's who's coming. The Messiah, the covenant head, the second Adam from above, the sure mercies of David. The Messiah is coming. The keeper of the law, the giver of the law is going to be the keeper of the law, the doer of it. Our Joseph is coming. Eat. That's what it represents.
What Christ did. Who it is. Why he came. What He did.
We understand that Christ fulfilled the law. He was made a woman, made under the law to do what? Why did He come? The world, everybody's talking about the law and religion, aren't they? Nobody in religion is talking about the law. Nobody's talking about righteousness. Nobody's talking about justification. 1 Corinthians 1:30, nobody knows those verses. They don't care. We do, don't we? Of God, are you in Christ Jesus? You know you need to be found in Christ Jesus, not having your own righteousness of the law, but that which is by the faith of Christ. Because He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We do, don't we? We glory in the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in His prayer to the Father, right before He went back to glory, He said, Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work You gave Me to do. And He prayed for all those people that He did that work for. Now I will that they be with Me where I am, that they might behold My glory. We understand that. Like Moses, show Me Your glory. Okay. Sovereign mercy. Sovereign grace. The name of the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ, we understand, we should be very glad. Reasons to eat and drink, take this table and be very happy as Christ fulfilled the Word, fulfilled the law for us. My. Do you remember how this all started when we started preaching these Old Testament tithes? My last point was that Christ fulfilled the Word. The reason we started doing this is Christ said on the road to Emmaus. He said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the song concerning Me. Now do you understand who he is and why he came and what he did? Now you understand.
It's written it, who Christ has suffered and arise from the dead, and you're witnesses of these things.
And their hearts burn with him.
So that's why we eat this table and drink and make merry. Oh my. And in our text, let me close with this. It says in verses 17, I read it to you. They had this feast called the Feast of Booths, where they all got little tents and they camped out. They camped out. You know, they were in Israel or Jerusalem, and they didn't really have houses yet. They were building their houses. The temple was built. The wall was built. They were fenced in. They were hedged about at the temple. But they all were waiting on a home. And so they made little booths. They got under the, and that some of them were made out of the myrtle tree. That's Esther, myrtle. Anyway, they were under the myrtle trees and limbs, and they all kind of camped out like the tribes of Israel of old. They were in their tents all around the tabernacle. See, that was their life. And Christ is our life. And we have here no continuing city. We dwell in tents. We're here temporary. And it says in verse 17, it was great gladness. And they kept this feast and with a solemn assembly and great gladness. Can you do both? Can you be solemn and laugh? Can you fear and rejoice? Can you? Yes. Can you tremble and be happy? Yeah, you can. Kelly and I can't understand how there's not going to be tears in heaven, because we cry when we laugh. Don't you? Tears of happiness run. How's this going? Yes, what he said. Ah, boy, because we're not going to have moisture like in us need, and not going to live on by the flesh like we do now. We don't need that moisture in us. We're going to be full of Christ. His moisture, water of life. All right. Man, if you'll come.